It's great to get to worship together, and that last song about wanting to make room. Yeah, it sticks with me, and you know, there's this phrase we hear a lot. We're working on the sound a little bit. Am I there? One, two. One, two. Okay. So there's this phrase in AA a lot: nothing changes if nothing changes, right? And a lot of us want things to be different, but we also tend to want to do everything the same way that we've always done it. And we have a hard time ever getting things to be the way we want it to be. If someone came to you today and said, there's a way to be, have a relationship with somebody that wants to give you an incredible amount of kindness like you've never known before. Thoughtful, creative, loving kindness. That would sound pretty good, right? If we said that same person, they want to have compassion, where they're really going to understand, they're going to value you enough, look you in the eye when you talk, listen when you speak, watch what happens in your life, have gone through some stuff themselves, they're going to understand your pain and your hardships. That would sound pretty amazing too, right? And then on top of all of that, this person's going to be able to forgive you for all the stuff that you've done wrong and all the ways you're going to continue to fail them. Like when you describe that person, you think that sounds like a better friend than any of us have, right? That sounds like a better thing than we've even shot for. But the truth is, you can't have a relationship with somebody like that if you don't make any room. That's what that last song was talking about. Wanting to make room for Jesus in our life. And if we don't make room for Jesus, if we don't change and make more room for him, then we're not going to have more of Jesus. And if we don't have more of that kindness and compassion and forgiveness from Jesus, then we don't have a hope to give kindness, compassion, or forgiveness like Jesus to anybody else. So I want to read you a few verses, but the first thing for you to decide today is, do I really want that? A lot of people came down front, they knelt and they said, like, I want to surrender things to God because I want more of him. But you have to decide for yourself, do I really want that sort of friendship that Jake just described? Do I have enough hope that God and Jesus are like that? And do I want it? Do I want it more than whatever I've distracted myself with, or whatever kind of quick fix thing I'm focused on right now? Because here's the commands that we read today out of Ephesians that Paul's given to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit. He says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. So the command there, it says, be kind and compassionate to one another and forgive each other. But the inspiration is literally that we're supposed to act like God has acted towards us. Then it says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children. Most of us don't identify ourselves that way, right? We don't think at our core that we're loved. But that's how we're described here by God. We're God's dearly loved children. It says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So again, the inspiration for loving other people, it comes from receiving love from Jesus. So God, yeah, whether it's a cell phone, or whether it's someone you love so much and they're in
dire need of help. You know, it's from the very small to the very, very big. It's things that we can't control. And when we talk to God about them, we find that God actually cares. He's not scared of our big problems. And he's not even scared of our big tragedies. Some of us have had to walk through some really hard tragedies. And even though we don't understand everything, we find that God will walk through that with us too. But there's little stuff that God will answer if you'll open the door for that too. And so right now, in this moment, if someone came up to you and asked you for help, if they were hungry and asked for lunch, you'd probably be a lot more likely to like take them to lunch and smile and really engage with them than you would have been like 30 minutes ago, right? Because it's hard to like hear all sorts of good stuff that God's doing for us and not want to help somebody else that's in trouble, right? Right? So here's the thing, like we don't always know how to help everybody. And we see right here in Maywood, we see brokenness. Sometimes it's like we don't know what to do. Okay? And sometimes our solutions don't help people and we get to these dead ends. But the dead end shouldn't be that we don't have enough love or kindness or compassion. We don't always have the answers to fix problems. We don't. Sometimes we have to tell people things they don't like to hear or something like that in a loving way. But it shouldn't be that in our own heart we don't have enough compassion to engage, or in our own heart we don't have enough kindness or love or forgiveness. But if we look at ourselves, right, a lot of times we're not really thinking very much about what God has done for us. And it gets real easy to kind of live in expectation and to live in busyness. And pretty soon we don't have time for compassion or kindness. And then when we really need to forgive somebody, we look in the well and there's nothing there, right? Because forgiveness is harder than kindness and compassion, right? So if you don't have been filled up by what God's done for you, then you don't have hope to go the distance with people, right? So here's something I want to point out that God's been laying on my heart with this passage this last week. So it says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, it says, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us. That idea of walking in the way of love, I felt like is something that's really different from how most of us, myself included, live our lives. Most of us run through every day. And we don't even pay much of attention to the day or the moment at hand. We're running to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. It's very hard to have kindness or compassion to the person that God has put in your path if you're running. Right? We all see people run around neighborhoods exercising or whatever. They're not up for a conversation, right? They're on a mission. They're getting something done. And it's good to exercise. I'm not trying to slam people that run. But if you live your whole life that way, I'm too busy. I'm 5 minutes late everywhere I go, so I don't have time to stop and help. I don't have time to learn someone's name. I don't have time to notice the person at Quick Trip behind the mask or whatever, you know, like I don't have time to pay attention. Then you can't do this sort of stuff. Nowhere in the Gospels do we ever see Jesus physically run that I'm aware of. I don't think it happens. There's a parable I'll mention here in a second, but if you're running through your day, you're probably having a hard time following Jesus, right? Because I don't think Jesus is rushing through whatever opportunities he's given you. So if you're running, how are you following somebody who's walking this path of love? Right? The one time I can think of running coming up in Jesus' words, hang on just a second. Is Jesus running to the prodigal, or the father character running to the prodigal son, right? It's this run of love, right? This run of like, I don't care what I look like, I'm going to get to this person I've longed for so bad. So maybe if you're in a rush to help somebody, maybe that's okay. But most of us, our rushes keep us from being compassionate, being kind, being loving. And it keeps us from ever noticing that God has been compassionate and loved us and forgiven us. So if you want to walk in the way of love, I'm going to get real practical here for a little bit. Of just, you got to slow down. And some of this is coming from a book I read called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry by John Mark Comer. I preached that sermon on it forever ago. And then a book came out like a few weeks later. And Chris is like, maybe you should read this. Like, you've been talking about it a bunch. So that's a good book if you want to go even deeper into this stuff. But here's just a few practical tips. If you know yourself and you say, like, I do go too fast. I didn't learn anybody's name this week. I don't remember the facial expressions of anybody at any cash register I've talked to all week. You know, like, I didn't pay attention to what other people were saying or like how they were saying it all week. I rushed. I passed some people in need and I knew, like, I don't have time to help that person. That's you. Here's some tips on how to slow down. The first idea is you got to slow down and open it up to Jesus. Make space. That worship song we were singing. You have to make space to be filled with Jesus's kindness and compassion every day. So what does that look like? Well, this morning, I don't know what you're doing this morning, but there was this like beautiful fog before the dawn and then during the dawn, like, and I got out for just a little walk early this morning. God does beautiful stuff all the time. And if you really want to just open up to some of God's kindness, go for a short walk every day. It's a very simple step to just appreciate something that God has done. The other day I felt like I was too busy and it was really late at night. So I literally just went for a walk around my house. It was kind of pitiful. But one thing I noticed is that, like, the moon looked amazing. Like, it's super cloudy, but then right as I'm in my backyard, there's this little window of clouds and the moon was right there. And just felt like God was just like showing off the moon, even though I only gave him like literally 3 minutes. He made something pretty happen in those 3 minutes. If you will open yourself up to saying, like, God, I want to appreciate you. You might think, like, oh, that's silly. If you're reading the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talks about loving your enemies, and his inspiration is how God handles weather. Okay? Jesus paid attention from a humanly perspective of what weather is like, and he was able to use that to teach us about God's forgiveness and loving our enemies. So, like, it's a Christ-like thing to do, to spend some time in nature with God, saying, God, I want to receive how you act. I want to receive something that you're doing. Another thing you can do, just got a chance to give somebody a journal this morning, so we've been talking about it. God's doing tons of stuff in this person's life. But it's a faith builder if you will write down what God's doing in your life and even write down the stuff you're praying about and then go back and flip through that later. It just builds your faith. A lot of you, God did something amazing in your life 286 days ago, but you've forgotten. And it's the exact same thing you're struggling with again today, you know? And it's like, you're not gonna get over that hump if you don't ever remember that he's already taken care of this type of problem before. So journaling's not fun. It's not like, or I mean, maybe some people like it, but if you like it, you're probably already doing it. If you don't like it, give yourself permission to just do something really small, 2 or 3 lines. Here's how I saw God today. Here's what I'm asking for help on. Just those 2 sentences, and then go back and read the stuff from a month ago or read the stuff from 3 months ago. Okay? Another super small thing, if you have your license, when you come up to a stop sign, stop all the way. This sounds insane if you actually put it into practice. Most of us like roll through stop signs like crazy. I mean, almost nobody comes to a total stop. Nick got a ticket yesterday, so there you go. So there's some teeth to this advice maybe, but so almost nobody comes to a real stop, and I will tell you, as somebody that didn't used to do that, to come into a total stop, it's really hard to do if you're in like a super stressed, hurried mode and there's no one around. Stopping feels like so anti what your like stress mode is about. because you realize, like, there's no one there. There's no need to come to a total stop. It just feels off. But you know what it feels off to? It feels off to that spirit of hurry and just stupidness that I'm caught up in. It's like a little tiny picking up your cross. It's just a little bit of contrary action to realize, like, if I feel in such a rush that it's unnatural to come to a total stop, then, like, I'm wrong. And seeing that over and over is good. Like, it's good for your heart. And then when you're at a stoplight, just coming off of this passage, what if you had a little verse on your dashboard that was something about how much God loves you, or how kind God is, or how God's forgiven you? And just during that stop, instead of trying to catch up with your thumb on your phone for 2 seconds, what if you just looked at that verse and thought, like, yeah, God is kind to me. God does love me. If you just put a little bit of that into you. Now, a good chunk of us here at Maywood, like, don't have our license at this moment, right? So if you're in that spot, you're way ahead on this idea of slowing down because you're stuck probably waiting at points for transportation, right? But instead of just making that a source of frustration, what if you put a passage about God's goodness to you, or even Psalm 84 would be a great one if you're looking for a passage. You put that in your pocket, and when you're stuck waiting for the ride, because if you're getting rides from people, the polite thing to do is to be waiting for them. You know, like, I'll just give you that tip. But so you're waiting for them, and why not be reading Psalm 84 or reading something like that? Saying, like, I'm going to use this time to get God's goodness so when I get in that car with that person, I'm ready to give something because I've received something. So this all sounds really small. And you're like, Jake, I wanted something bigger or better. God that you're going to get to spend time with is as big as you could want. But it's these little things that we do to say, I'm not going to be so rushed that I miss out on God's kindness to me. I'm not going to be so rushed that I miss how compassionate he is. I'm not going to be so rushed that I forget how he got me my cell phone back at Walmart, right? If we do these little things, then we're ready to have kindness or compassion on the people we meet. We're ready to forgive. When we get into that hard moment with somebody and we have to tell them, no, I can't help you, it comes out of love, not out of, I don't have the heart for it, right? It comes out of, I can't help you because it wouldn't be healthy for you, right? It comes out of, we're able to really know that because when it is healthy, we actually do give it, right? Forgiveness gets talked about here. Forgiveness is a big process, okay? All of us have been hurt by somebody so much that it's going to be hard to forgive. But you don't do it without receiving forgiveness from Jesus. If you're here today and you can't think, you don't know where you are at with that with God. You feel some sort of guilt about something in your past, and you feel like God is probably angry with you or hates you or resents you. I want you to know that God will accept you right now if you will come to him and say, Jesus, I've messed it up. Please forgive me and please show me how to do better. If you really want to do better, he will forgive you for everything. Right? You don't have to have the answers of how to get out of the pit of mess. You just have to want to do things his way and they say, please forgive me for the past. He'll do it. You don't have to leave here today without doing that. So if someone is here today and they're saying, I need God's forgiveness, we don't normally do like hand raising stuff, but we don't normally meet in a parking lot either. So like, raise your hand if you're here right now. You're like, I need to pray. I don't know where I'm at with Jesus. I need to pray and be forgiven. So here's the deal. If we're all at that spot where like I've been forgiven by God from something big, then the burden is now on us to be big at forgiving other people. So if you didn't raise your hand today, it's either because you don't want anything to do with Jesus, or it's because you're saying, nope, I owe forgiveness to everybody else. Okay? So we got to give that to other people. I want to close this out. We got a baptism coming up here in just a second. If you're involved with baptism today, come on up right here. I've got some announcements while we're doing that and an activity thing. So Chris is getting baptized, and then folks help, I think Darren and Chad and Carla. So if you guys would come on up. So yeah, excited for that. Before we go to those folks, I've got some announcements for us to talk about. The very first one I want to do is to ask us to be praying for somebody. So Beth Arms, if you would stand up for me. Beth's right back here. So Beth is getting to go back to Ghana. Beth has been a missionary there for many years. Because of COVID, she had to be back in the States longer than she had planned, but she's getting to go back soon, and this is probably our last Sunday where we'll get to see her before she goes. And so Beth is part of the International Mission Board, which is like our church and other churches like group to try to send missionaries. But like Beth is a Maywood person and has been a leader here for a long time. She's doing awesome work in Ghana. Basically, what she's trying to do is tell people the story about Jesus and to help people know Jesus. And so I want to lead us in a blessing over Beth. And so we're going to pray for her. Jesus, I thank you so much for Beth Arms. I thank you for Ghana. I thank you that, God, you were active in Ghana long before Beth got there, but you've been using her to reach people in Ghana and even beyond. God, she gets to talk to a lot of different people of Muslim faith, of different types of faiths, God. And I pray for Beth, God, that you would be a light through her, that you would inspire people to accept you. God, I pray that you would bless Beth with a local church that she can have a stronger relationship with as she goes back. Yes. God, I know she's wanting that. Pray you continue to bless her with safety as she is there. Pray also you bless each person who becomes a Christian in Ghana and in the surrounding countries with safety, as it is dangerous at times. God, bless them with good family in you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
The next thing I want to do is a thank you to Daniel from Kairos. I don't know where you're at the moment. Right over here. So Daniel's playing keys before us again today, and thank you for doing that. And I'm going to talk about, so Daniel will be there on Tuesday as well. So Tuesday, I'll talk about that here in a second, but awesome to see the partnerships and brotherhood that's starting to form or has been formed between us and Kairos. You know, it's a blessing to us, their ministry. We were praying for years about, God, how can we reach Hispanics in this neighborhood? We were trying to translate stuff into Spanish, and honestly, like, we weren't able to get it done. But God's plan wasn't to just get everything done through us. God's plan was to join us with another group that was better than us at that. And that's how God does things a lot. God answers our prayers, but not necessarily the ways that we wanted to. So Kairos has been this huge blessing, but they continue all these different cool things happening between the two churches. But I wanted to give praise to Jesus. Kairos has dreamed about being in their own building for a long time. They had a building, had issues with the city, and a lot of other things got in the way. And they just this last week were able to buy their old building, which is really close to here on 24 Highway. So praise God for providing them that.
Yeah.
And super excited for them. And they've got a lot of work to do to get it remodeled, so they won't be going anywhere for a little bit. And even once they relocate, or, you know, I was talking to Pastor Doug, so we want to keep doing joint stuff together. We want to stay connected, you know? Yeah. Tuesday night, what Christina was just mentioning is we're trying to get everything ready to be in the building on the 18th. So next week will be our last outdoor service. I know some of you have told me some of your friends are actually more comfortable coming and staying in their car and stuff. So if you want to invite somebody to an outdoor service, you need to do it right now because next week's our last one. But 2 weeks from now, we'll be back in the building, but we're just going to be in the fellowship hall, the worship center, and the youth chapel. And you'll kind of stay in whichever of those three rooms by what door you enter. We'll have Living a Transformed Life. We'll be down in the fellowship hall, that Sunday school class. And we'll have a couple of different adult classes in the other groups. So wherever you go for Sunday school, then you'll just stay there for the whole morning. And the worship service will be coming on screens down in the fellowship hall and in the youth chapel. So, but there's a lot of technology to that, and honestly, like, we're figuring it out as we go. So Tuesday night, this Tuesday, we're going to do what's called a worship open house, where we're going to just make sure the technology works or figure out what's broken. But we're also going to spend some time praying and worshiping. So if you want to be a part of that, there probably will be technical difficulties. But if you want to be a part of it, we're going to be worshiping and praying together. So that's this Tuesday at 7, if you want to be a part of it. So I think that's it on our announcements. Carla, can you take things over? Excited?
Yeah. For Chris, yeah.
Hello. So for those of you who don't know me, I'm Carla Rose, and my husband Brian and I teach. It's called a baptism basics class. It's been about a year now. Maywood leadership was really feeling like people were getting baptized and they weren't really sure exactly what they were doing. So we started this class to make sure they really understood what they were doing and that they wanted to proceed with their new life in Christ. So we have one person getting baptized today. He's really brave. He says he's from Wisconsin, so this is really no big deal for him, even though I think it is. But anyway, his name is Chris Wilson. And Chris was a real pleasure to get to know and talk to. He's had a real struggle for most of his adult life with drugs and alcohol, and he said, "I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of that life." And so he went to a detox facility, and as a result of that, he ended up at Good Foundation, and he ended up with a spectacular roommate who is very committed and leading a very committed life for Christ. And as we were going through everything in the baptism class, he would keep saying, "That's what my roommate says. That's what my roommate said. That's what my roommate said." He goes, "My roommate has really been teaching me." I said, "Well, your roommate is mentoring you is what he's doing." And his roommate is the one that actually led him to the Lord. And he prayed the prayer with his roommate. So as we were talking, I said, "So tell me how your life is different now." And he goes, "Well, when I first went to Good Foundations and I got my job," he said, "I was just all over the place. I was out there and I went to work like I was supposed to. But then after my roommate, you know, after I really started learning more about God, I think my personality must have gotten better, because a lady that I worked with, she said, what's different about you? You are so different now than when you first started here." And he said, "Well, I'll tell you what's different. I found God." And yeah. So, I mean, that says it all. So then the next thing, I said, "Okay, so who do you want to baptize you? Because you can pick." And he goes, "I can?" I said, "Yes." He goes, "Well, I want my roommate to baptize me." And so his roommate is Chad Doberstein. And I said, "Okay, so you can pick someone to pray for you. Who do you want to pray for you?" He goes, "Well, I want my sponsor to pray for me." I said, "Who is that?" He said, "Darren Jackson." I said, "Well, I said, God has got you in his hand, because he has put some really strong Christian men in your life. So you know right there, that's God taking care of you." So because it's so cold, I'm going to hand it over to Darren. He's going to pray, and then Chris is going to jump in. He's going to keep his socks on, keep his feet a little bit warmer. And then we'll do this real quick.
What's up, everybody? Dear Lord in heaven, we come to you today. Jesus, you are the name above every name.
Yes.
You are called the way, the truth, and the life.
Yes.
There is none greater or more awesome than you, Lord. I want to thank you for Chris and bringing him here today. And God, we thank you for an opportunity to see your glory through this baptism and his acceptance of you, Lord Jesus. And just continue blessing him and continue living through Chris like I've been seeing you do, and just let your glory be glorified through him and his works that you live through Chris. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Hold on just 1 second. Oh, and I've got one other thing. Today is marks 4 months of sobriety for Chris. So a double thing for him.
So have you received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
So in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, I baptize you right now. Good job.
This is for him if you want to.
Jesus Calling book. Awesome.
Okay, guys. Well, that is a great way to end our service. Hopefully, Chris can get dried off quickly. And let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much for Chris and his new life in you. I thank you for these past 4 months. Jesus, I pray you continue to use us to spread your kindness, compassion, and forgiveness. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.